The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to cartoonist Christopher Hart, the best-selling author of how-to cartooning books. His latest is How to Get Published as a Manga Artist, everything you need to turn your passion into a career. And this is his third appearance on Mr. Media. Stick around and get ready to learn something that could change your life as a freelance writer or artist. So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, brought to you today by Amazon.com. When you visit MrMedia.com and click on any of the links to purchase books, music, movies, gift certificates, or anything else through our Amazon link, you support this free video podcast. Whenever you need something else from Amazon, please consider returning to MrMedia.com to order it. It doesn't cost you any extra, and we sure appreciate the support. And don't forget, MrMedia.com has more than 1,200 celebrity audio and video interviews archived on the site. That's hundreds upon hundreds of hours free entertainment. Subscribe for free on MrMedia.com, and you'll instantly get an email every time a new interview is posted. You can also watch and subscribe to the show on YouTube, Vimeo, Dailymotion, The Realm Network, and Frequency.com. And if you prefer to just listen, Mr. Media is also available for free on iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Blueberry, TuneIn, Blog Talk Radio, Podfeed.net, and Player FM. You can subscribe to any of those services and never miss another episode. Finally, you can interact with Mr. Media interviews on all kinds of social media, including Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and more. Friend or follow us, we'll friend or follow you back. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience full of creative people who don't realize they're allowed to be good business people. It's just not expected by editors and publishers who plan to take advantage of their usual naivete in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. I have always made my living as a freelance writer. First came fanzines, then newspaper articles, then magazine articles, and now mostly books. Along the way, I've relied on a short handful of how-to books that have been extremely helpful to me, educating me in freelancer etiquette, as well as where to find editors, publishers, and agents. I've also dug in deep for tips on getting paid properly and on time, and how to deal with the occasional weasel who's tried to screw me out of a paycheck. Now, when Christopher Hart, who may be the world's best-selling author of how-to cartoon and draw manga books, told me he had published a book called How to Get Published as a Manga Artist, Everything You Need to Turn Your Passion into a Career, I figured it was a good idea for a highly specialized freelance artist, but was skeptical that someone as experienced as myself could learn something new. Well, I was right, and I was wrong. When How to Get Published as a Manga Artist is, oh, I'm sorry, while How to Get Published as a Manga Artist is aimed at a particular type of independent creative person, its lessons can work for artists and writers producing original material pretty much for any field. Of particular interest to me is its advice about the rapidly evolving world of self-publishing. Now, whether you are just starting out or, like me, have years of experience as a freelancer, I heartily recommend you get this book. It will pay for itself overnight with the knowledge you will gain. Christopher Hart, welcome back to Mr. Media.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Always good to see you. Always good to talk. But I got to ask you, Chris, what the hell were you thinking? You put this book out, and aren't you creating a wave of new freelance artists who are going to want all of your work and everyone else's work? I mean, wouldn't it be better to keep these things to yourself?
No, it wouldn't. I've got so many people on my Facebook and YouTube channels who are asking for advice. And they always ask, how do I get published? What do I do? How do I get my characters out there? How do I get a graphic novel started? You know, I want to do some licensing, get my art out there. What do I do? And I'm always composing these elaborate letters, and you know, I just don't have the time to do it all. So I thought this would be a great opportunity to really set it out. And I didn't think it was going to be as involved as it was. Once I got started, I thought, you know, I don't want this to be the sort of easy, concise, you know, product that you get at a bookstore. You know, what you do is you find the right, you know, editor at the right publisher and you send it to them. I wanted to say, you know, very specifically what the business requires, because I saw a lot of people, like in DeviantArt, giving themselves each other, all novice artists, good artists, but novice artists, advice on how to get published. And I saw it was mainly wrong. A typical, for instance, younger artists are very worried about people stealing their stuff. And they put a big copyright warning, correct copyright warning, on the front page. What they don't realize is that no one's going to read it if they put that copyright warning on the page. It's a sign that someone is an amateur. It's a sign that someone is scared. It's a sign that someone's thinking of suing you before you even read it. People generally don't get ripped off by publishers. They generally get ripped off by their friends and other people on social media. Mm-hmm. So what happens is they have absolutely no reluctance to put all their work and all their ideas in social media. And then when they send it to a publisher or an agent, they're fighting mad. They're ready. You're going to steal my stuff. It's already out of the barn. The horse has run. And there are other things I want to cue people into. And I show you exactly how to put a package together, submission package to an agent. I tell you what is going to stop the agent and have him throw away the letter before he gets halfway through it. But if an agent calls you and says, where has this been? Where has your product been? Some people think that means, you know, yeah, how could you send this to me? I mean, has this been everywhere? Is it, you know? And I let them know what the key words are to listen for. If the agent says to you, where has this been? Your ears should just perk up. What that means is the agent thinks, I want to be the first to have this. This is great. Has it been to anyone else? Because if it has, I've got to scoop you up right away. And so your answer to him isn't, no one has seen it. You know, it's just, you know, you don't have to grab my material right away. You can wait. Your answer to that is, well, I'm submitting it now, but you're my first choice. So there are certain ways, there's certain lingo in the business, and you have to know how to answer it. So to make a long story short, I am thankfully and gratefully pretty secure in my area of publishing. And not everybody wants to do what I'm doing. A lot of them really want to do graphic novels, like I said. A lot of them just, they enjoy developing characters. So we're all colleagues. You know, I talk to these people every day. It's my pleasure to be able to share some of my experience.
It's I was listening to what you were saying about how to talk to the editor. I think I remember that movie. It was called Romancing the Editor, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's a big part of it. You have to know how to talk to these people, whether it's an agent, if you've got that person as kind of the buffer, or if you're dealing directly with an editor, which I imagine for manga artists and from what I read, it could go either way. You could be dealing with an agent or you could be dealing directly. Really know a lot of this job, whether you're a writer or an artist, I think has to do with knowing how to talk to people and how to represent yourself and your best interest.
But so you know that you had that experience. A lot of people don't know that. What they do is they go into a relationship with an editor. You have to realize that it's a relationship. It's not a contact, because that person is on your book. It's part of their life. And if you continue right, they'll be your editor. And the person who doesn't have much experience goes into it thinking, you're not going to change my work. I'm in charge of my creative rights. What you have to understand is, yes, they are going to change your work. They're going to make you do it better. They're not going to do it. They're going to challenge you. Why did you do this here? Would it be better if you did this here? And you must consider what they're saying. First of all, there's no writer who doesn't need an editor, just like there's no actor who doesn't need a director. Comes with the territory. If you stick your feet down and say, oh, I'm not making any changes, they're going to tear up the contract and give back to you. And then good luck. What do you have? The other thing to think about, and I try to give people the long view, is if this book is being guided so it's not exactly what you want, hang in there. The editor wants to make this sell. Yes, they're interested in your story. They wouldn't have bought it. Yes, they like it. They wouldn't have bought it, but they think it will sell. If you're trying to push it in one direction, they know, for instance, there are this type of a story needs a female hero. and you kind of have them equivalent, the male and the female lead, they're going to try to get you to push it over to the female lead, and it will probably sell better. Now, you wanted to make it equal, do that in your next book. Don't act like this is the last book you'll ever write. Mm-hmm. Big mistake is it's, that's my baby. Well, yes, it is, but you, that baby's going to go off to school, and you're going to have another baby. That's the way to think of a writing career. Most people just think of getting published. It's about staying published.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the biggest mistakes that newcomers make it in this type of situation is that they decide, yes, if they get over the fact that everyone's going to steal from them and they make a submission, then they number one amateur move, I think, is to tell the editor, you can't change a word. You have to publish it exactly as it is. And that immediately says to an editor or a publisher, you're an amateur and I'm not going to deal with you. I don't have time to waste on this. You have to go in. It's a relationship just as much as it's a relationship between you and a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a parent, a teacher, and a student, whatever it is. That's a big part of this. And, you talk a lot about that in here. I mentioned that I was very impressed by your breakdown of the way things are changing in publishing, that a lot of people are doing self-publishing. Also, self-publishing is not as disreputable as it once was.
That's right.
Why was this a good time to put that much effort into that? Is it that much of an option for the manga artist?
Well, I just read today in the Wall Street Journal, I think it was, I read that one out of every three books or something along those lines sold at Amazon self-published. Now, there used to be a big stigma against self-publishing. That was really for people who were generally afraid of sending their stuff to agents and publishers and getting rejected and didn't have any credits at all. These people, wanted to be writers, but they never published anything, and they want to start off by hitting a home run. I'm going to be an author. And it didn't go over well. It looked bad. The material itself didn't look good, the typesetting, etc. That's all gotten much better. But you see, we're dealing with people, the manga group, the comic artist group, the cartoonist group, who are actually good artists. There's some great artists. And what I want to do is help them raise their level of submissions, their level of producing a self-published book up to the level of their artwork. You see, if you can draw, you can do something. You've got a talent. You've got a skill. The people who are just writing their own novel as the first thing they've ever written, well, we don't know that they can write. We know you can draw. You're not at the point where you want to get involved in creating a graphic novel if you can't draw. So you've got credentials with me. What I need to do is show you how to go the traditional way, like through the major publishers, and then how to go the self-published way, and show you the pitfalls, the advantages to each. For instance, there's somebody who might be a great artist, but they've never really taken to social networking. They don't want to spend a lot of time doing it. They're not technical. They don't have a lot of spare time. They're creating their graphic novel on the side. They certainly don't have time to create a massive marketing campaign. And that's another thing I cover, as you know. Unless you are willing to put as much time into marketing your book as you did to making it, self-publishing is not for you. Right. So I go into the reasons why you can do one or not do the other. If you're that kind of person who doesn't have that time, you better go the traditional route, because a publisher, they're an engine. They have the distribution, But I'm also very clear to let people know to break certain myths. I mean, it's really a sin that people, listen to how great self-publishing is, and then they self-publish a book and find out they can't get it on any bookshelf, because bookstores generally don't take them. So they have thousands of books in the garage trying to sell. So I give them the advice generally that it's better to start with an ebook. You don't have to return an ebook, because if someone wants a book, sends a book back, you've got to go shipping and handling. You've got to do accounting. You don't have to do with an ebook. Amazon or other publishers will do that for you. If you want to change the price because it's not selling, overnight with an ebook. A regular book, it's printed. The price is printed on the cover. You want to do some editing, that's it with an ebook. So it's a great way in. I want to stop people from going through some of the pitfalls of self-publishing. And they don't realize that, for instance, you have to have storage, you have to have insurance on what you have, you have to send postage to send out, postage to take returns, like I said, accounting. It's very, very involved. So if you're going to do that and make paper copies, I talk about launching a web comic first, getting a base of readers, because you're going to have to sell to your base. You're not going to sell from the bookstore shelves, with an exception. There have been independent self-published comics being done since the dawn of comics, and those have a good reputation. We've had all seen famous people come from independent comics. It's not, that doesn't have the same reputation in books. Uh-oh, excuse me. So, where was I about the books? So, you can get your self-published comic in comic stores, and that's a cheaper run than a self-published graphic novel. So I try to give you realistic alternatives because there are so many. People
Hello.
Don't know. People.
Please leave a message.
I'm very sorry. You know, I should have left my phone outside. I didn't want anything to interrupt this, and so, but this is important to me, so I apologize for the interruption.
Well, and what about print on demand? I mean, if you launch your book as print on demand, you don't have, unlike even 5 years ago, you don't have to get stuck with inventory, that kind of thing.
Great idea. And I should have written more about print on demand in my book. It's a wonderful option, and I'm glad you brought that up, because people don't always know what's print on demand. They say, I'll take the paper one. You know, I'm not going to take the ebook. I'll take the printed version. They click, and they think they're getting something from a traditional publisher, and they're really getting it, you know, spun off from, you know, the print on demand. It's tremendous compared to printing your own stuff. And also, I talk about the vanity publishers, which is different from self-publishing. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some houses that, I will do it all for you. Well, why should they pick your art director? Why should they pick your editor?
Right.
You know, you want to know exactly what they're doing. You want to make your book a la carte, you know, not just give it to a one-size-fits-all place, because your book isn't one-size-fits-all. So those are some reasons
I'm I think you hit it really well on the marketing part. I make my living generally from co-authoring books for very large publishers, mm-hmm. the Random Houses, the Penguins, things like that. And
sure.
No disrespect to all my friends in big publishing houses, but the reality of the publishing business today is that even if you get your book published with them, you have to have your own marketing plan. You have to have a platform. That's the big word. That's the buzzword for the last 10 years, platform. What is your platform to getting your book out in front of people? Now, it's no different for a CEO of a company than it would be for a manga artist. You still have to have that platform. Maybe your platform is you know, you have that webcomic and 10,000 people a month, you know, zip in to read it for free. Okay, that's a start. That's 10,000 people a month who have an interest in your work. That's good. That's platform. If you have my agent recently said to me that the publishers want to know how many Twitter followers and Facebook followers you have and LinkedIn followers and anything that's not in at least four digits, they're not interested. If you haven't been able to figure out a way to generate a few thousand followers on Twitter or a few thousand followers on Facebook, you're not going to be qualified to a bigger publisher as someone that they're interested in. However, if you're going to self-publish or you're going to work in some variation of that, if you have that, you know, you've got several thousand people there who, you know, you can start getting your product in front of. It will not be a total loss.
But there's something also to keep in mind about self-publishing. I'm a big advocate of traditional publishing myself. I think self-publishing is great for some people. But one major thing for artists is licensing. And they don't understand generally what licensing is. I go into it in great detail. Jesus. Easy peasy. So I'm hoping not ruining this energy.
No, you're fine. Licensing.
All right. Licensing is when you take, say, you create Gary the Dragon Warrior in your graphic novel or your comic, or you just have pictures of him, or you just have, you know, you just have Kawhi or something like that with Gary, all right? Well, you say, I like Gary on mugs. I like him on sweaters. I like Gary on posters. I like him on sportswear. That's
licensing. Are you doing Dr. Seuss now?
What's that?
Are you doing Dr. Seuss now? I like him. I like him in the bath. I like him in the shower. I like him in the garage. And sorry, go ahead.
Shouldn't have told anybody. I didn't want to be called out. Yes. So licensing is very important. It brings in more readers. It also widens the awareness of your brand. But self-publishing is basically built on profits rather than readers. In traditional publishing, for the big publishing houses, it's how many sales you get, because you need a lot of sales, a lot of eyeballs, a lot of purchasers to make money. And with self-published books, the profit on each book is tremendous, but the sales are much lower. It's hard to get those sales with self-publishing. So you're hoping to get a few sales and large profits. Now, here's where I go into in the book on licensing. Suppose that you're getting a dollar a book royalty on a $10 book from a traditional publisher. So you sell 10,000 books and you get $10,000. That's your traditional way. Say with that you're self-publishing, you're getting $7 a book. For the same $10 book, you're earning a profit of $7 a book. You may only need a little over about 1,000 sales to make the same money.
Right.
Now here's where it's tricky. The person who made $10,000 off of 10,000 sales, the traditional guy, the traditional writer, has 10,000 viewers, so to speak. You made the same money, but you got 1,000. So if I'm going to go to a company to license my work, the first thing you're going to say is, how many people know your stuff? How many have you sold? They're not going to say, how much money have you made?
Right.
So they see one guy who's has 10,000 buyers, and then they see someone who has 1,000. Doesn't matter how much money they make, that's equivalent. If they're going to license a product, they want to know that there's a lot of people who already think it's terrific. So they're going to go with the person from traditional publishing because he has the higher sales numbers. He will always have higher sales numbers than the self-published author. It's just the way it is. Does that mean you shouldn't go self-publishing? No, but it means that if you do, there's a cost. Licensing is tougher. You know, you can have a modest success with traditional publishing and sell a lot of units. You know, if you sell 25,000-30,000 books, it's a moderate success. But you could maybe get some licensing, but with self-publishing, it's very hard to sell 35,000 books. Very difficult. But you can make a lot of money. So you have to know what is it that you want in life and how fast you want to get it.
Are you playing for
one thing I wanted to mention, if I might, which is that pardon me?
I'm saying it's a matter of also, are you playing for the short game or are you in it for the long term?
Right. And you know, if you get – but there – and again, all the stuff is in the book. If you go self-publishing and you do manage to get certain things in bookstores or on Amazon, et cetera, metrics, everybody knows who's in the business how many sales you had. And so what happens is – I don't want to talk about every detail in the book, but – you have to be concerned that if self-publishing is going to limit the amount of sales you have, and then you think you might ever want to get a traditional book published, they're going to look at your last book. If you have a book that, again, sold 1,000 copies and you made a lot of money and you go to a publisher and say, I did X and X book, first thing they do is look up, 1,000 copies? That's not any good. And you say, but I self-published. They're going to say, well, but we don't care because we want every book to sell 10,000 copies. And you can only sell 1,000 or you would have sold more. Mm-hmm. And you say, but I made the same money. Well, they're going to say, well, but we won't because we don't make that kind of money off every copy. We're a traditional publisher. So I try to really lay these things out. And one area that's so important, whether you're self-publishing or not, and especially if you're self-publishing, most people don't think about it, is I go into great detail about the submissions package, how to send a submission letter and a package to an agent and a publisher. They're not always the same. Most people who self-publish never think about that because they're not going to send the package out. They're going to do it themselves. But it helps so much to dissect and analyze your work and how to create the character, the character profiles, the summary of what you're doing, the cover letter, who you are, what the story is about, what the hook is, who the target reader is, who it will appeal to on the shelf. There are two things you have to do when you try to sell a manuscript to an agent and to a publisher. You have to, and they seem like they're contradictory, but they're not. you have to tell them what shelf it belongs on. If you say, well, I wrote this great book, but it's like nothing else, they're going to say, we don't want it. Because it's like nothing else. It doesn't belong on any particular shelf. We want your book to be where someone who says, I want a mystery, and they go there. So you've got to tell them what books it's like, and they've got to be good ones. If they're, you know, if there's nothing like good that's in your genre, the other thing you have to do is tell them how your book is different from everything else on the shelf. So that they'll say, well, what's the reason someone's going to buy it? Fine, you're on the mystery shelf, but why is yours the mystery they're going to want? These are things I go through, and even if you don't submit to a traditional publisher or an agent and just self-publish, these are important questions to ask yourself. You know, these are things that the agents and the publishers have really gotten down to science, and the reason is because they're trying to attract the reader, and it's not selling out to try to, you know, attract readers. I mean, that's what you want. That's what I want. That's what you want. You know, basically, let's make that happen for you is what I'm trying to say.
Chris, how did you learn to navigate these waters yourself when you started out? I mean, you've done a lot of books now. You're established. We get that. But at some point, you were starting out just like anyone else. Was there someone who showed you how to navigate the waters as an independent? Or?
Well, what happened is, for me, I come from a family of writers, but I have a different point of view on people than my father is a writer, and he dealt with agents and television people mainly, in print. And he never liked agents. He thought they were like a difficulty in the deal. I don't look at them that way. I never did. I was always happy to have an agent. I thought it's a good thing to get an agent. And I used to pound the bricks talking to agent after agent. I came from the point of view that if I sent out 12 submissions and they all came back negative, I would that week send out 14 more. They came back negative, I'd send back 16 more. But each time I would read the comments and tweak the submission and the package. And there's a certain willingness to go along. Now, I've been through this many times. And when I got published, publishers were a lot more open back then, willing to talk about the details of what they do. It was also easier for them to do that. The contracts were easier to understand, and I could talk contracts to the publisher himself. We could talk about terms and things like that. With all the social media, all the apps, all the different rights, all the permutations of media, the contracts have gotten very long, very hard to understand, and sometimes literally a single sentence that is punctuated the wrong way can affect your career for the rest of your life. It's too much for me to do. I needed to get agents on board, and I wasn't someone who would say to an agent, well, if you think it's good, I'll do it. I read every draft of every contract, mm-hmm. every sentence. I would talk to my IP, intellectual property attorneys, and my agents. I just got very, very immersed, and my books continue to expand, thankfully. And thank you, anyone who's watching who has my books. I appreciate it. And so I had to continue to get deeper and deeper into this. I started packaging books, and it's been a trial and error over many years. And dealing with the top people at different companies. Rather than only working with these very talented editors, I got to work also with people in sales and marketing and publishing. And you start to talk the sort of language of publishing. And this is why I like to make myself available, like on Facebook and DeviantArt, because people, you know, don't – young – people, unless they're really well situated, maybe living in New York, has a father, mother is a writer, they don't have any contacts. All they do is give each other advice. And like I say, it's not always the right advice. I like to be that contact. You want to ask a question? Ask me. I answer all my Facebook. I answer my YouTube. I don't have an assistant doing it for me. I love to do it. I root for the people who are trying to do this. I think it's a noble and wonderful pursuit, being creative. So, you know, I like to be that guy and give you a little bit of, you know, a realistic feedback on what it is you're trying to do.
Speaking of what I try to do, I just bumped the computer and dropped my script. Hold on a second.
Well, after what I've done with a phone, it's nothing.
You know,
nothing.
I'm always making new mistakes for the first time, and bumping into the computer and dropping the script, that's a first. That's a double first. One of the things I wanted to ask you as we kind of head towards wrapping up is, I mean, as a writer, I get I get asked probably once a week by people who want me to spend a lot of time with them talking about what's involved with freelancing and how do you do it and everything. And sure. I think for everybody who I talk to, I'd say maybe 10 to 20% actually follow through. And I think a lot of that, and I think that would apply to people who are thinking, you know, about following your book, that kind of thing. There's a lot of stress. It's a different type of stress. If you're used to getting a weekly paycheck, that's different. You're not going to get a regular paycheck. Book publishers pay. Some pay quarterly. Some pay twice a year. Some pay once a year. These are some of the things you need to know going in, that you're not going to get a weekly paycheck. And if that's a problem for you financially or emotionally, you need to think about things like that. So I just wanted to put in my two bits about that. Would you agree? Sure. I mean,
how could I not? This is, you're a well-established writer. This is your experience. You're doing what I'm doing. You're sharing your experience, not an opinion. This is how it goes. I think what I like to also, and you're absolutely right, you don't have that steady paycheck. So what you do instead is you look for a home for your work. You look for clients who like your work and want to keep using you, and you build up those clients, you deepen your relationships with those clients. If you have an editor, you also want to get to know who the senior editor is. You want to get to know who the art director is, and you want to get them finally pitching ideas to you. So you actually do have, if you're strong in your field, you do have a certain regularity of work, because you have a base, two bases, three bases, and that's generally it's a good thing. It's a good, satisfying thing, and there are things you can rely on. Sometimes people say, I just want to get my one idea done, and they send it out, and they're hoping, and they wait, and they wait. And my advice is always, where's your second book? Right. While the first one is out, work on the second. First of all, it softens the blow when you get the inevitable rejections, which everybody gets. So you're not alone, but also you want to follow it up. Suppose the person says to you, the agent, the publisher, I like it. It's not really for me. You have anything else? Well, you can't say, this is the only thing I'm ever going to do in my life. Work on something else. I mean, trust yourself. You have the creativity to do something else. And you'll have more confidence when you do. It's part of my message to people.
All right. So, Chris, I know from experience that you always have something else in the pipeline. So
really?
Before we wrap up, what else are you working on? What's coming out next?
I got two great How to Draw books coming up. And I don't mean great that, I did great work. But I mean, I get enthusiastic, a little like a kid. Oh, this is going to be great. So that's what I mean. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I got one called coming out in the beginning of October, which is right around the corner, called Monstrously Funny Cartoons. There's so much on CGI, which is computer-generated imaging. It's a computer animation for theatrical films. That's just all about monsters, whether it's Monsters, Inc. or it's Despicable Me. Or Nightmare Before Christmas, and then there's Mandy and Grimm, and there's all sorts. They're so funny and so popular. So I really want to do a book in that genre. And then right after that, I have a book coming out called Cartoon Faces, because there's so much in that area. And in any book on how to draw cartoons, usually you're spending a quarter of the book on faces. Then you go into, bodies and action poses and hands. I thought, I want to give them everything. I want to do one just on faces. There's so much good material for creating characters and what most people have trouble with, turning them and making them stay recognizable. So those are the two that are going to be out before the end of the year. Thanks for asking.
Of course, of course. Well, folks, you can order Christopher Hart's new book, How to Get Published as a Manga Artist, Everything You Need to Turn Your Passion into a Career, in great online bookstores everywhere, or you can order it right now at a great price at MrMedia.com. And if you've seen the show before, you know how this works. Right below, if you're watching us on MrMedia.com, right below Chris, somewhere either over there or over there, is the image of the book cover. Click on it right now. It'll take you to Amazon. You can order it immediately at a great price. And if you order it as an ebook, you'll have it instantly. Chris, what about a website? You want to tell people where they can find you on the
web? Oh, thanks. Yes. ChristopherHartBooks.com. It's pretty simple. You can see my YouTube videos from there, or you go directly to YouTube and look me up. Just type in Crystal Heart Draw, and you'll see a bunch of YouTubes coming up. So thank you for that.
And are there links there to Facebook and Twitter as well?
Yes, on my website, crystalheartbooks.com, you can get to my DeviantArt, you can get to my Facebook, you can get to my YouTube, anything you want from there. And there are free tutorials and blogs and things like that.
Very good. Chris, it is always a pleasure. This is the third time. I have a feeling there'll be a fourth at least. Great to see you again. Thank you for
sharing. Well, thank you. You know, it's always great to talk to you because, you know, you have that great wealth of experience. You know, so we're talking, I think it's nice for people to come in on our conversations because we're talking shop, you know, and that's what they want to hear.
Yeah, hopefully somebody gets a benefit of it.
Sure.
Besides us. Great to see you, and thanks for joining us again on Mr. Media.
Thank you very much.
Hi, this is Buzz Burbank in the Buzz Burbank Newsroom, preparing for you another Buzz Burbank News and Comment. Do you like good stories? Boy, I sure do. I turn over a lot of stones each day to make sure I don't miss the best ones. Sure, some make me angry, and some make me sad, and some make me laugh, and isn't that what makes us human? I'm proud of the fact that I pack more news into my 10 or 15 minutes a day than the evening news does in a half hour. It's a free podcast at buzzburbank.com, or you can subscribe free at iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or get it on any RSS device. It's like a newspaper for your head. It's Buzz Burbank News and Comment, another Realm Network presentation. Weekday mornings right here on the Realm Network.
It's the Mark and Lowell Show.
Hi, this is Mark.
And this is Lowell. And if you're fans of Don and Mike, you may know who we are.
Our number one interns. You've met them on the show. They're the guys that ate all the junk, and they were outside with each other holding hands with a sign that said that they loved each other wearing the dunce caps.
What you may not know is that we started out as fans back in their WAVA days.
Hi, Don and Mike. It's Mark and Lowell.
Oh, yeah. Hey, these are two guys that we once actually called them our proteges, didn't we?
And now we have our own show, so we want you to give it a shot.
Just check us out at the Realm Network, realmnetwork.com, or you can go to markandlowell.com.
Resistance is futile. It's the Mark and Lowell Show.
Every Tuesday and Thursday evenings right here on the Realm Network. And catch the Poor Premium Show Friday nights. This is Adam and Asid to the Extreme.
So, I'm sorry, did you ever see the film Rubber?
I've seen Flubber.
I've heard of Rubber. Isn't that about like a tire or something? Like,
it is. Dude, Adam, you got to watch this movie. I'm serious.
Rubber?
It's so great. It's about a serial killer that is a tire. You know, kind of like Christine was a car. It's a tire.
And how much LSD was the director on when he...
I don't know. But it's great because what happens, without giving anything away, the tire just kind of rolls into place, very sinister, and there's the person in the background. This was a highly entertaining movie. And the greatest thing, and I'm going to paraphrase this, but there's a scene where the local sheriff has got all his deputies together. He's describing this tire, and one of the deputies goes... Is he black?
Right here on the Realm Network.